This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:44. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning, Jonathan Feldstein. Good morning to you, founder of Genesis 123 organization. Shavua Tov. How are you doing?
Shavua Tov and hanging in here, Howard. How are you doing?
I am also. But, you know, it's very different in South Africa because this time of year, it's being November, we have our summer holidays in December. Our school years run from January to November, December. So this is sort of the end of the year. It's got a very, very different atmosphere. Being summer, people are going to go away on holiday, on vacation. So it's quite different to the Northern Hemisphere. But so much going on in Israel that we wanted to talk about. What is the latest in terms of the return of the bodies of the hostages?
So as of yesterday, from what I've read and watching the news this morning, three bodies were returned yesterday. One was identified as Omer Natura, and thank God his parents. He was, I think, the last American hostage, dual citizen. And the other two, as far as I'm aware, have not yet been identified. If my math is correct, that leaves eight bodies of hostages. And one thing that we've spoken about, Howard, over the years, one thing that's super important, and especially for people in South Africa to understand, is one of the remaining bodies is that of a Tanzanian agricultural student. They're still not all Israeli citizens. And Omer was a dual citizen, but Joshua Molel was just a Tanzanian who was killed that day, October 7th, 2 years ago. So Hamas is still playing games, and I'm sure you saw and probably spoke about the video where they buried a body and then uncovered it for the Red Cross as if they had just discovered it. But anyone who didn't know that, those are the games that Hamas is playing. And we're praying that the remaining eight bodies will be found and returned.
Hamas were meant to have done this weeks ago already.
Yeah.
Has this now just become accepted within the Israeli environment that they will continue to do this? It'll be one body here, two there, the wrong ones. Is this just now standard Hamas practice?
I think so, and I think that was understood, and I think that it was naive from the very outset. I don't recall which clause of President Trump's ceasefire plan the return of the hostages was, but it was naive to think that they were all going to be returned within 72 hours. The living ones, I think, were. But identifying and finding the bodies and Israeli intelligence I can't remember when, but within the last week or two, at the latest, was saying, no, that Hamas actually does know where the bodies of all, but I think three of the hostages are, or at least Israeli intelligence knew where they are, so Hamas had to know. And it's accepted practice among a terrorist organization that practices lying and deceit as a core pillar of radical Islam.
Which, of course, brings the critical question about the post-ceasefire deal and who is to govern Gaza. There's definitely something going on with the signatories to this deal. I'm seeing a lot of propaganda against the UAE at the moment, which tells me that something is going on there with Qatar. What do we understand?
Look, the all the signatories probably want something good, although with respective agendas. Qatar is certainly not an objective player by any stretch. Qatar wants to continue its influence here, in the Middle East, and unless they do an absolute 180-degree turn, that's an extremist Islamic perspective. And my sense is they don't need to change, because President Trump mistakenly has crowned them a peace partner and an ally of the United States. And I think none of that's accurate. As far as UAE, I personally give them a lot of credit. They were one of the original signers of the Abraham Accords. I think it's a rational country, but I don't think that any Arab or Islamic country can truly be trusted to be involved in either disarming and disbanding Hamas, or even governing Gaza in any way, because they're just too much opportunity for three so-called peacekeepers to be there and receive an envelope of cash under the table or above the table and allow smuggling to continue. That's expected. So we're not in the same situation we were October 6th, 2 years ago, but we're planting the seeds for that same situation for Hamas to be built up, because the only people who will take on Hamas, if possible, will be Israel. But the question is Israel ever going to be given the opportunity to do that, or have we just kicked the can down the road that my grandson, who turned 7 yesterday, in 13 years, will be following the footsteps of his father?
So that's the concern, because the longer this goes on, this period goes on, and maybe that's why Hamas are doing this. The longer this stage of the deal goes on, the more Hamas can rearm, the more that they can take control of Gaza, and the stronger they become, which means it's harder to remove them. So maybe those two things tie together as part of a Hamas strategy.
For sure, they play a long game, and Hamas is just the modern inheritor of the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is 95 years old, if my history is correct. And they play a long game, and Hamas understood, they had to understand, that even though there were many terms of the Trump plan that they had to swallow with a big gulp and probably hurt their throat, they understand that this was not going to disarm them, that this was not going to disband them, and it's not. They're in control of less territory. But I read something shocking this week that there are still 50% of the tunnels that are still in existence in Gaza. I mean, that's astounding. That means Israel's military has not been in to destroy them, and who knows what's in them? Who knows what weapons are there? It's very discouraging. So, you know, I remember during the beginning of the war, Howard, you would ask me at the beginning of our conversations, how are you? And my answer was no worse than most Israelis. I've taken a positive turn on that. We're okay. We're celebrating. But it would be foolish for anyone to think that this is peace, or that the war is over, or that my son, who's going back up to the Syrian border tomorrow, that my son, who was a newlywed 2 years ago when he was called up on October 7th and is now a new father of 2 months, that he won't need to continue to do this and guard every single one of the borders. And that there was even a headline that I didn't read the article to, that we're closer to active combat with Hezbollah in Lebanon again than we have been since whatever agreement has been created with Hezbollah to de-escalate.
So in many ways, this has, if we were at maybe 80% in terms of the success of the war, and I guess we have to leave the hostages, living hostages aside, maybe we shouldn't, but if we were at 80% in terms of the goals of destroying Hamas, Hezbollah, and those threats, Iran, we seem to have come back now to maybe 70% or 60% of in terms of success rather than where we were. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of my, I don't have a yard anymore. I live in an apartment, but in my house growing up in New Jersey, we had dandelions and they're weeds and they sprout up. And if you can use a dandelion or any weed analogy, or you can use a medical analogy, a cancer. If you don't root out the root, if you don't eliminate it, then you will be fighting the spread of whether it's a tumor or whether it's just pretty yellow flowers that become weeds and ruin your lawn. And that's international, that's global, and that's the situation that we're in. I'm not the smartest person in the room unless I'm the only person in the room. And I always say on something like this, I'd really rather be proven wrong. And I'd love for you to be, or someone else to be able to do that. But my general feeling is we need to be better than naive. We need to be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right. Let's talk about this program that is bringing Christians to Israel.
It's one of the best things I've done. I encourage people to go to rootandbranchisrael.com.
Say that again. Root and branch.
Rootandbranchisrael.com. Mm-hmm. My partner is a woman who was born in Iran and became a Christian in Iran and was arrested and sentenced to death because she became a Christian in Iran. And her name is Marzi Amirizadeh. And she came up with the idea in 2023, before the war, to bring Christians to harvest olives in Israel. And long story short, between her and me as friends and our respective nonprofits, Genesis 1-2-3 and hers, which is called newpersia.org, we have a great common overlap. And this was the second year, just ended last week, of bringing Christians to harvest olives from public trees. Christian listeners will follow, will understand the fact that we're harvesting wild olive trees, as in the verse in Romans 11, which we can go on about another time. But it's a remarkable program because we're picking olives in public areas that would otherwise just fall to the ground and make a mess or become fertilizer for next year's olives. And we take them to an olive press. And this year we were privileged to make another 120 liters of olive oil, which we're now packaging as anointing oil with a beautiful fragrance and selling that so that we can take the money and bring it for programs that benefit people who have been impacted by the war. And I have to say, I'm 60 years old. I've been in nonprofit work for most of the last 40 years, which is astounding that I'm even old enough to have that kind of historical recollection. But this is one of the best things that I've ever done because people are coming in and they're connecting with the land and harvesting olives. It's intense work, but it's fun and meaningful. We had a 74-year-old retired pediatrician from Texas who joined us reluctantly because his wife wanted to come. So he did the normal thing that husbands do. He said, "Yes, dear." And he couldn't stop talking about what an amazing program this was and how he and other friends of his will come back next year. The harvesting, we connect people to not just the land, but to the people in Israel. So we've had a great opportunity to interact with soldiers. The grandfather of Gili and Ziv Berman, who were two hostages who were just released 2 weeks ago, we had an opportunity to visit with him. A year ago, we met him and we prayed that his grandchildren would be released. Last week, we got to visit with him and thank God for the fact that they were released and pray for them. And hopefully they will come and join us to harvest olives. And we visited with at-risk youth and spent several thousand shekels on buying new toys for them. So it's really an immersion in Israel. And I encourage people to look into it for next fall. We don't have dates yet, but we have done a tour also in northern Israel at some of the gorgeous national parks that have hundreds of olive trees. And we have an open invitation to bring people not just to harvest the land, but also understand the connection to the history biblically and in more modern times. It's astounding.
It's actually amazing. Is it difficult to? I mean, is there a concern about safety? About you know, all the propaganda, everything that no doubt that these groups have been subject to.
For on our end, I mean, there's no
No. I'm saying the fact that they are traveling from other countries, from the United States, has the propaganda and the deliberate misinformation impacted their willingness to participate in these types of events?
I think the propaganda less so. This year, the fact that everyone booked their tickets and planned their participation while there was still an active war going on. So on that level, that was heroic. But one of the things that we've seen now that everyone's gone home, we had participants from the US and France and Scotland and the UK and England. And some of the participants have gone home. One person in particular, she didn't tell her family and friends that she was coming to Israel and announced that she was here after the fact. And she's had people literally hang up the phone on her, accusing her of participating in the genocide. So we see that, and that's the propaganda that affects people. And it's very hard to go back to that, having experienced the incredible things that people did experience and seeing the truth. And simply seeing the truth here.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, Jonathan Feldstein, bringing us the Israel Report this morning. It is 8 o'clock.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.